The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
Rocking up my sleeve. Presto! No doubt about it. I gotta get another hat.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
It's Monday in America, and you are listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. I got all the words out this week. I usually get parts of it.
Yes. All the words came out.
All the words. And in the right order.
That's often an accomplishment.
Oh, I know. It really has been lately. I've been having a rough go between the dog getting sick last week, and we thought he was going to die. To weird work stuff. And then, you know, I freelance a whole bunch of stuff when I can, and I've been doing a bunch of that this week and trying to make ends meet and other serious personal developments that aren't my story to tell. And it's just been a rough week, and I am fucking exhausted, but I am trying to get my spirits up, my energy doubled. For this show.
I feel you. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. I need to figure out something fun to watch while I sit around and feel sorry for myself. Basketball. Tiffany says basketball.
I say the boys while she's watching basketball.
It's, you know what? Tiffany is kind of allergic to stylized violence. Famously having become projectile nauseous watching The Punisher on Netflix a few years back.
Right.
So I don't think The Boys is going to work as something we can watch together. You know, and same thing as Rebel Moon Part 2. Yeah, I'm going to watch it, but not when anybody's here. It's not that good. You know?
I am not watching it.
I'm watching it for, I've just blanked her name, the star. That was in Star Trek Beyond.
Right.
You know, the French martial artist. She was in Secret Service.
Bring me back to that Zack Snyder monstrosity. So.
Which one?
She can't bring me back to that Zack Snyder monstrosity that was Rebel Moon.
That's not that bad.
Yeah. Oh, I... Oof.
It's... Remember, he's still the guy that made Watchmen. And that was a great movie.
Makes one great movie.
Well, it'd probably be dickish to ask how many great movies you and I have made. You've done one. I've done none.
I've made one great movie, and I've made one okay movie.
I thought it was a great movie. Your star sure was thin and handsome.
He was.
Back in the day, Jesus. I still remember when we were doing that gunshot scene, and I got that gigantic, I think it was either a .357 revolver or a .44, but it was huge and heavy. And I was slim at the time, you know, still big on top, but I was thin, and I don't have hips enough for a belt to hold the gun in place. So I would put the gun on, and then we'd have to shoot real fast because my pants were going to fall down over and over and over again.
Your pants were coming down, yeah.
Yep. I remember that. That was out in the desert when we were shooting wax caps at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I got to tell you... I was listening to Bruce Campbell not too long ago, and he was talking about when they made the first Evil Dead. You know that scene where they shoot a shotgun through the window?
Uh-huh.
They shot a shotgun through the window. No safety, nothing. No wax caps, no nothing. They're just like, well, here's the camera. We'll set it to run. Everybody run this way. He'll shoot it kind of that way.
Well, if you remember, we had to fuck up your shirt.
Yep.
Because you were supposed to look like you'd been shot. So we loaded that shotgun with actual buckshot and fired into your shirt.
Yep.
So we could get all the holes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I do. That was student filmmaking at its most dangerous and fun.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
And I've watched more dangerous things happen with film shoots and guns on professional film shoots compared to what we did.
Yeah. No, we were wicked safe.
Yeah.
You know, obsessively safe. It's Alec Baldwin could learn a thing or two from us. And then, you know, I with Mike in 2002, we shot a movie and then had technical problems where we had drop frames on all of the tapes.
Oh.
And you were just missing. It was basically like striped, like your movie, a blue line, your movie, a blue line, your movie, a blue line. And nothing we could do about it. But there is a program now fueled by AI that can go back in and extrapolate the data and pull the dropped frames back.
Oh.
And so now I'm desperately trying to get possession, physical possession of the tapes. And I'm having a problem with it. But if it's true and I can get that movie back, you know, it was a labor of love and a labor of just super fucking annoyance. And it was a lot of work.
Honestly, that was my 60mm project that you were involved in. It was a labor of love and a lot of annoyance.
Yep.
And it was for a grade. I mean, I was in film school and it was my 60mm film course, but good Lord, I wanted it to be so right. And I remember I got a little forlorn as I was working on the edit because, I was like, God, this doesn't look the way I want it to. And then somebody commented as I showed a rough cut, they commented, I really like that you filmed that with pools of light. And I'm like, yeah, but that didn't work. It's like, I can still see everything. He said, no, you tell the lab to take the take it down and you will have nothing but pools of light. I'm like, oh fuck, that's right, I'd forgotten about that. And boom, after that, because you get so fucking caught in your head when you're working on stuff like that, you forget all these little things, you know.
Color correction opens up a vast amount of options that you don't get when you're just working with the blank. Sometimes you don't
and
see
I asked,
it
you know I asked him to step it down with the added, you know, and of course my professor, who fucking Mr. Park City, was like, oh well, you know, if it doesn't work, you'll just have to have it done again, but you have to pay for the print every single fucking time. And I didn't have that kind of money, even with student loans. And so I paid for the print and I'm like, I hope this came through. And I watched the print and I'm like, yes, it came through. They did it in one, which was very cool, the lab. So
digital is so much easier.
Yep, digital is a lot easier to work with. And you know, we get to test our acting metal once again.
Oh yeah, you and I are doing a vignette. For my son Matthias.
Mm-hmm.
I will be playing a dude lost in the woods. So will you?
Yep.
I don't know what we're eating. I believe it is barbecued opossum.
Yep. Barbecued iguana, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. No. So we're doing that not this next week, but the week after.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done a little acting for him and his group of very talented kids now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is my third time.
Yep.
I did one on camera. I did one voiceover, and I did this one that we're coming up, where you and I will both be on screen.
Yes.
I'm actually excited for it. So anyway, we got a lot of news this week, but I mean, you know, typically it's either going to go really, really quick because it's all pretty obvious shit, you know, or we will bog down on multiple branched tangents. Who knows?
Hey, you never know. That's the crapshoot that is this episode, this show.
That is true. So Trump's spiritual advisor is in a bit of hot water.
What?
His name's Robert Morris. He's the founding pastor of the Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas. And he has confessed to inappropriate sexual behavior, he says, with a young lady. The young lady was 12 years old. It was a child. Well. You know, he... So,
inappropriate sexual behavior with a child is what we're really looking at here. Yeah.
You know, I understand. I don't know.
I don't understand.
No. I got to finish that thought or I'm going to just leave it hanging and that's embarrassing. But, you know, it's this. I understand that these Republicans believe that children should be having children. Yes. They absolutely do. And apparently, much like, you know, somebody who's polygamist, they seem to think that little kids are their primary target, their primary prey.
Yeah.
You know, and this guy Morris, absolutely. Now, he's admitted to being sexually immoral as a teenager. Come to find out, when he was in his 20s and already a merry man, he was also preying on a 12-year-old girl.
Oh, so he's a pedo.
Yep.
The very thing the Republicans are accusing, you know, that's one of their big boogeymen are pedophiles.
Yep.
They said that back in 2016 about the whole, basement of some pizza parlor in Washington, D.C., which some dumb fuck goes in and winds up in the pizza parlor looking for the basement.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a basement. To now it's drag queens are grooming children to you know, be molested and everything. And meanwhile, they're the ones out molesting the children.
I think what they are is that, well, yeah, that's actually what it comes down to. But it comes down, he says that when he was in his early 20s, he was involved in a, quote, inappropriate sexual behavior with a young lady in a home where I was staying. He says it was kissing and petting and not intercourse, but it was wrong. Guess what, dumbass? When you're in your 20s and it's a 12-year-old, kissing and petting is also wrong. It doesn't have to be fucking intercourse, you pervert.
Completely.
You know what? You're not even a pervert. You're just a scumbag.
Yeah.
You know? There are perverts in the world that can not commit heinous crime. That'd be me.
That don't look at a 12-year-old and go, yeah, I'd like to get me some of that.
Actually, it's nice that now that I'm in my 50s, I'm a dirty old man instead of a pervert.
Yes.
Yeah, I've aged like a fine mountain berry.
There was a period of time where I had to give up my amateur standing and became a provert.
There you go.
Now I'm a dirty old man.
Yes.
Happy to retire. My provert status as a dirty old man.
Yeah. So, all right, here we go. He explained that he returned to the ministry March of 89, 2 years after his abuse was exposed, with the blessing, and this is where I lose my fucking mind, of the survivor's father and the elders of his church. I asked their forgiveness, he said, and they graciously forgave me. You know whose forgiveness he didn't ask? The 12-year-old he raped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking born-agains believe that if you ask for forgiveness and you've accepted Jesus, that you everything is forgiven, but then you never, ever, ever think about the victim. And I'm sorry, there should be justice for the victim no matter what. Yeah.
It's just gross.
Mm-hmm.
She was 12 years old. She was 12 years old. 12 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh. Okay.
That's Trump's spiritual advisor.
Makes sense considering how many times we've heard participants in pageants that were underage, like Miss Teen USA, say that he kept walking into the goddamn dressing room when they were changing.
Yep.
You know? So, one of the big things that happened this week was Louisiana passed a law to require every public school classroom to display the Ten Commandments. Now, this is obviously unconstitutional. So the ACLU is already bringing a suit. It's on its way. But Republican Governor Jeff Landry signed the law last Wednesday, making Louisiana the first state to implement such a requirement. Enter stage right, the Satanic Church. You know, they'll be here. Yep. It's be careful what you wish for, you fucking idiots. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sorry that your behavior, that your antichrist behavior is driving people away from your dumbass religion, you know, but you don't get to, you don't get to proselytize by force, mm-hmm. you know, and if you do, and we call you the Taliban, you can't get all butt hurt because you got compared to somebody who wasn't white, you assholes.
Well, you are the fucking Taliban. You're the Christian Taliban.
Yep.
The fucking Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. And you now every kid has to come home, go, you know, 5-year-olds have to go home and say, Mommy, what's adultery? You know? Yep. And meanwhile, well, that's what your daddy did. But no, I mean, if you're a Christian, why aren't you pushing for the Beatitudes?
Yeah.
Which were the first.
Oh, because they're so fucking woke.
Like, yeah, they're so woke. You know, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's nothing they'd want to put in anywhere. But I'm like, can you imagine if they did put up the Beatitudes? At least they're nice. At least they're like, you are blessed if you are a good person if you do this, is what they're saying. You know?
All right. Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Okay. Except for Donald Trump.
That's number one. Number two, you shall make no idols. Okay.
Except for Donald Trump.
Except for Donald Trump.
He's a golden idol, if you ever saw one.
Tangerine. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I posit that this is what they're doing. Mm-hmm. God doesn't care if I ask him to damn something, because I am sincere when I do so.
Well, more to the point, taking God's name in vain is you putting these fucking, doing all this stuff in the name of God when God's not, has not shown up to ask you to do it.
Yep.
And that's what taking his name in vain is. It's like, well, God, I'm doing this in the name of God. No, you're not. You're doing it in the name of you, fuckwit.
Yeah.
And that's violating your third commandment that you want to put up in every fucking school.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Unless there's football.
Yeah. You know, or a Trump rally. Number five, honor your father and your mother. Well, Christian guy, does your father actually honor your mother?
Mm-hmm.
No, not so much. Number six.
Well, she's his sister, so, you know.
Yeah. Number six, you shall not murder.
Okay.
That's a good one. You know what? You can hang that one up. I got no problem with that. Make sure that the gunman that's chasing the children reads that one. I'm sure that the kids will really take it to heart in their next school shooting that you shall not murder is posted on the fucking wall.
That's the fifth commandment, right?
Six.
Sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah, five is mom and dad.
That's right. So six, you know, the first precept of Buddhism is do not take a life, and through your actions allow others to take a life. That's their first one.
Yeah.
Not their fucking sixth one. And I like that it's the first one. It also says you're also responsible if you do something or through your inactions do something that allows somebody else to do it. Like, you know, not passing gun control like regulation.
Yeah. Here we go. These are the ones. You know, yeah, some Republicans murder, but so do some Democrats. You know, honor your father and your mother. That's pretty fucking subjective. Mm-hmm. What you do on a Sunday is up to you. I don't give a shit. You know, you take the name of the Lord in vain. Fine. You know, do you have an idol? Yes. He wears bronzer, you know. Mm-hmm. But 7 through 10 has a really good anti-Republican spin. You shall not commit adultery. Now, Donald Trump, as I recall, cheated on his first wife with his second wife.
Yes.
And probably more people.
He wouldn't have been his second wife if he hadn't knocked her up, though.
Right. Cheated on his second wife with his third wife.
Yes.
Now, this is all for those of you, you know what? You're listening. You guys know what adultery is. It's the people not listening that don't know what adultery is. You know, and while his third wife was pregnant and near to having labor with his fifth kid. He stepped out on her and banged an adult film actress.
Two of them.
One didn't do adult films. She did adult magazines.
That's right.
Just to play my mom.
good point of contention.
Yeah, there. She's not breaking a sweat. Because mm-hmm. not with him either, because apparently it's real quick.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, let's, who can we throw out there? Let me see. Bill Clinton, yeah, committed adultery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who else? Oh, Newt fucking Gingrich.
Newt Gingrich.
Whose fault most of our problems today are mm-hmm. his. Number 8, you shall not steal. Well, the Trump family is no longer allowed to run a charity in New York State because they got caught siphoning funds off a kid's cancer charity.
They're no longer allowed to do business in New York State.
That is also true.
Because that was like the first trial this year with Trump was he doesn't get to do business in New York anymore.
Because he stole from the taxpayers of New York State.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Hey, Republicans. Hey, MAGAs. You guys do this all day long. You just make shit up.
Oh, my God. I can't. These fucking senators and congressmen here in Utah, they're all Republicans. They're all on a primary ticket. So they've been running these fucking ads.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're lying. Well, you know, they'll say things like, and Democrats want this. And I'm like, no, they don't.
Yeah. No, not so much.
And I'm like, where are the Democrats to step up and say, no, we don't do that? Yeah.
Number 10, you shall not covet. Well, you're coveting the White House and you're coveting the Senate majority. I think you guys mm-hmm. are coveting. About the only thing not being coveted is Ted Cruz because Trump mm-hmm. called his wife ugly and he still sucked his dick.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back on the other side. More of the same.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com/defenmedia.
You are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
So, one of the if you go over to theleftshow.com, you'll see we had more stuff on Louisiana. One of them was an op-ed by Nicholas Mitchell, assistant professor of curriculum studies at the University of Kansas, entitled Louisiana's New Mandate is the First Step in a Sinister Vision for the Country. It is a long read, but it is a really good read, and it makes a lot of fantastic points about how bad things can get when we allow shit like this to happen.
Well, it's just more of the first steps. I mean, they continue to do it, and they'll continue to push this stuff through. It'll get struck down at some point, this law, before it even really gets put into effect, except in a few Louisiana schools. But It's all they do is they just go back and say, okay, we'll fix it. We'll change it up. You know, we saw the one in the Supreme Court struck down because they didn't actually have a case to bring before the Supreme Court. And I'm like, they'll be back.
Oh, they'll be back. They just need standing.
Exactly.
State Representative Dottie Horton is the Republican from Louisiana, is a prime mover behind her state doing the same thing that the other state did.
Ah, Dottie.
Yeah, Dottie. I mean, what a perfect name. Anyway, she is one of the prime movers behind her state's bill prohibiting teachers from discussing gender identity and sexual orientation from kindergarten to the 12th grade, referred to by critics as Don't Say Gay law. Similar one became known after it was passed in Florida. Civil liberties groups are already lining up to challenge the constitutionality of both laws that Horton has been backing, and they have precedent on their side. Back in 1980, the Supreme Court ruled the classroom displays of the Ten Commandments were unconstitutional. Anyway, just another fucking crazy Christian that decides that we have to be like her or we don't count. I mean, a good quote from her is, I'm not concerned with an atheist. I'm not concerned with a Muslim. I'm concerned with our children looking and seeing what God's law is. Fine. Take them to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
Homeschool.
That's what church is for, lady.
Yeah.
That's what parochial schools are for, if you would set some up for your little Protestant groups.
If you want to send your kid to the seminary, send your kid to the seminary. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But don't make me go, and don't send my kids. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. You know? Even if I was religious, I guarantee it would be a different flavor than whatever bitter pill you're trying to pass out to your parishioners.
Yep.
I'm just saying. Okay, because this whole chunk of news was supposed to be laughable. Not good news, per se. Some good news, but at least enough to make you chuckle. Ha, 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 ha. Maryland governor has issued mass pardons for marijuana convictions this last week.
Woo-hoo!
The pardons will forgive low-level marijuana possession charges for an estimated 100,000 people in what the Democratic governor said is a step to heal decades of social and economic justice. This is what justice looks like. The only surprise is it hasn't happened in more states. But it's finally happening in the state. It was the setting to The Wire is a really nice piece of contrast, since the TV series showed how the war on drugs corrupted everyone involved.
Absolutely true.
Yeah. Maryland Governor Wes Moore issued a mass pardon of more than 175,000 marijuana convictions Monday morning as one of the nation's most sweeping acts of clemency involving a drug now in widespread recreational use. Let's see, what do we got? Oh, here we got a quote. I'm ecstatic we have a real opportunity with what I'm signing to right a lot of historic wrongs. If you want to be able to create inclusive economic growth, it means you have to start removing these barriers that continue to disproportionately sit on the communities of color. I love this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Way to go, Wes Moore. You know?
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy about it.
I support this guy.
Louisiana did a thing.
Another one?
Yeah. They've legalized surgical castration for child molesters.
Oh, I got a guy that needs to go there. Trump's spiritual advisor.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. And he's an admitted child molester.
He is. Therefore... Yeah. You just basically, I mean, in that state, they should just say, well, you just signed up to get it cut off, buddy.
Yeah. So there's the punch of the problem half of me that thinks this is a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
There's the bleeding heart liberal in me that is like, you know, sometimes people that don't do things get convicted of doing things.
That's my thinking as well. It's like it shouldn't be like a Texas execution. There should be opportunity for the, you know, it needs to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yep. The other thing is castration.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to stop a molester from molesting.
Right.
Not all molestation involves the penis.
Right.
You know,
nor does it involve sex. It's about control, about power.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. I mean, and so, but like I said, punch the problem, Jeff, is like, raw. So,
it's like, we just did a story about a guy that needs to go there and get that taken care of.
Yeah, well, the punishment of surgical castration is used in other countries that are known for harsher criminal sanctions, including the Czech Republic and Nigeria. It'll be new in the United States. The governor's office confirmed to the Associated Press on Friday that Landry had signed the bill. Proponents of Louisiana law, which takes effect August 1st, hope the new possible punishment will deter people from committing sex crimes against children. Hey, look. All you got to do is lock up your GOP contingent and the clergy, and you're safe. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's all. No more clergy. A lot less child abuse. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the legislation gives Louisiana judges an option to sentence someone to surgical castration after the person has been convicted of certain aggravated sex crimes, including rape, incest, and molestation against a child under 13. The punishment is not automatic and would be by individual cases at the discretion of the judge. Louisiana has 2,224 people in prison for such crimes. The law can be applied only to those who have been convicted of a crime on or after August 1st of this year.
Well, I hope you don't get Judge Green. He's the nipping judge.
Yep. He's a biter. speaking of public molestation.
Yes.
Lauren Boebert told Steve Bannon... You know, whatever I say after this is just going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But here it comes. Lauren Boebert tells Steve Bannon about the need for morals on his podcast.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. She pontificated to Bannon about the need for morals on his podcast last week. The two were discussing Louisiana's controversial mandate that public school classrooms display the Ten Commandments. Jeff Landry signed the legislation into law on Wednesday. Boebert praised great friend Landry and was all in. Quote, this is something we need all through our nation because we need morals back in our nation, back in our schools. If there is anything we are going to present in front of our children, it's going to be, it should be the word of God, because this is the one truth that's never going to change and never going to leave them. It's not some woke fad of the day that you can get canceled for believing in 10 years from now. Hey, Lauren, when you were given your boyfriend a hand job in the theater full of children, when you took his hand, as we saw in the video, and made him squeeze your boobs, when your husband was arrested for showing his penis to teenage girls, when your kid basically knocked up his minor girlfriend... and then got arrested on 22 counts of burglary for breaking into cars and stealing things out of them. You know, the you still haven't convinced me that you weren't an escort for Ted Cruz.
Well, none of that's adultery except for the escort part.
That doesn't really hit on any of the Ten Commandments or behavior, does it?
No.
Huh. Unless she was idolizing the penis in the theater, I guess. Oh, okay. So if the Ten Commandments are the only morality you need, that really does give her an awful lot of leeway for her behavior.
There is a ton of leeway if all you need is the Ten Commandments.
Yeah. And if you're not, I don't think she was married when she was doing escort work. So if you, as an escort, shtup a married dude,
it's his problem.
Yeah, that's not adultery on your part, escort.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's nothing about, you know, selling it in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
I mean, you read back through the Bible, you can basically have sex with anybody you want to. Lot banged his daughters, you know. And I mean, is that a good right-wing, you know, Christian platform in that, you know, the whole Adam and Eve thing is it's Lot and his daughters, not Lot and his sons?
I got a text from Donald Trump. He needs more on this Lot stripping his daughter thing.
Ew, gross. Ew. Ew, gross. Lauren Boebert's opponent filmed a campaign ad in the seat she sat in during the Beetlejuice musical. In the video, John Podoras, as the Colorado Republican, was, quote, kicked out of both the Denver venue and her congressional district. John Podoras, a Democrat, running against Boebert to replace Republican Ken Buck in Colorado's 4th congressional district, says he filmed the video in the exact seat at the Denver Theater where Boebert sat in September. I assume they've cleaned it.
One would hope.
Yep, when she and a date were escorted out of a Beetlejuice musical for, quote, vaping and being disruptive, end quote. In the ad, Podora points out that Boebert is switching over to Colorado's 4th district from the 3rd. The move announced last year meant she could avoid a rematch against the Democrat in the 3rd who outraised her. Quote, I'm sitting in the very same seat Lauren Boebert got kicked out of. The same way she got kicked out of Colorado's 3rd congressional district. Now she's picked up her bags and fled to eastern Colorado to run in the 4th congressional district. You know what? I like it. I think it's what you need if you're running against somebody as fucking nuts as her. Mm-hmm. You know? We still go back to Kyle Clark, the debate moderator, who brought up the incident. You know? Quote, did you apologize for the behavior that went on with you and your date or the vaping? Or did you apologize for lying to voters about what you did that night and the disrespect that you showed service workers that night? What specifically were you apologizing for? That is a question she did not answer.
She said, I'm sorry I got caught.
Yep.
That's really the...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Boebert was also taunted by a fellow Republican in January when Rep. Lisa McClain, Republican of Michigan, told guests the Washington Press Club Foundation's annual congressional dinner, I know it's date night for some of you, but no inappropriate touching. That includes you, Lauren Boebert. No vaping either. That's funny when your own folks are making fun of you.
Yep.
That does give me the giggles. I don't know, man. What the fuck are we fighting anymore? This used to make sense. This used to be about policy. You know?
Oh, no.
It used to be both parties trying to
build... We've passed policy.
It used to be both parties were trying to build out what they thought was the best thing for Americans. You know? Yeah. And Republicans believe that businesses getting taxed less is good for kids. And we believe that not getting shot in school is good for kids. And so there were differences of opinion, but we could at least fucking argue about it. You know, but now you have, after Donald Trump tanked the bipartisan immigration bill, Joe Biden signed an executive order about locking the door after a certain amount of people come through. And then he also did another one, which was great, which was foreign folk married to Americans that are still waiting for their citizenship are sometimes forced to go back to their original country for sometimes up to 10 years. And what he did was he signed an executive order saying parole in place, basically meaning that as you're waiting for that particular time to pass, you can stay with your family.
Right.
So Republicans were screaming and yelling and jumping up and down that Joe Biden had the power to do fixes at the border with executive orders. And that he wasn't doing it and that, you know, he wasn't doing his job, blah, blah, blah. And so he signed some executive orders about immigration stuff. And now they're just like, he's acting like a dictator.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you three times. You know. Ugh.
Well, we look at this last Congress. What have they accomplished in the period of them being in Congress? They have replaced their speaker three times now. That's it. The anything else they've accomplished has been in spite of them, not you know, in spite of these people like Lauren Boebert and that, who are there simply to be disruptive and be popular because of it. You know, if she gets kicked out of Congress, she'll have her own show soon. You know, Fox or Newsmax or something like that. And it's this whole that they just want to be there to be celebrities. In fact, a lot of them looked a little shocked when they were told they had to do some work as part of being in Congress, had to work for the American people. They're like, well, I don't work for the American people. I work for my constituents. Oh, your constituents aren't the American people? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
It's that we've passed policy. There's no policy being debated about. It's right and wrong. it's paranoia and conspiracy theory versus honesty and truth. And when we can finally get that back in, okay, because I stream all my shows and I watch streaming networks with local commercials
sure.
that get thrown on there, I have watched all of the Utah senators that are trying to run for the Republican ticket, right?
Yeah.
In the primary. None of them have said Republican in their ads. They're all conservative. They're afraid to be even identified as Republican now. No, we've lost it. We have lost our policy. Policy doesn't exist in this country. We ourselves on this show say we're in a constitutional crisis. We really are.
Yeah, because it's not hyperbole.
Nobody is getting anything done. And it's time to stop voting for, dipshit and start putting in people who will actually get shit done.
I'll tell you, just to close out the segment, one of the things that frustrates me the most is Republicans, especially on state level, screaming and yelling about what a headache the fucking Democrats are and what a bad job they do running the government and all that.
Right.
But I live in a state with a Republican supermajority where they have gerrymandered themselves to bulletproof districts to maintain a veto-proof majority. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck are you blaming? You guys have been in charge since Scott Matheson was out of office. You guys have been in charge for 40 fucking years. And you're still blaming Democrats for shit? Democrats on the Hill here pass things like child seatbelt laws. That's all they do. They're not running around doing renter protections. They're not running around doing, helping out the homeless. They're not running around doing all these woke things you people hate so much. They're not. They're doing minor adjustments to laws that will keep kids safer because it's all we can fucking get passed.
Yeah.
You did it. You broke it. Stop blaming other people. Hey, Utah voter, fuck you. You voted for it. They broke it. This is your fault. Stop blaming the left. All we're doing is saying, hey, can't kids have something to eat? Fuck you. All right.
Amen.
Let's take a break. We'll be back on the other side. The C block.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Peter B. Gillis, Taylor Wiley, and Donald Sutherland. Jonathan Majors got an award.
Fuck my life.
Bullshit right there.
Justin Timberlake got a DWI.
Fuck my life.
That's some bullshit right there.
In Tinseltown, the boys will end with season 5.
Fuck my life.
Oh, boy, that's some bullshit right there.
Paul Giamatti joined the Star Trek family.
That's actually great news.
AWA is teaming up with Vertigo Entertainment to produce shows from their comics. Firefly is getting a prequel series. Joshua Williamson is leaving two of his DC series. And the Sensational Shield has been canceled.
Fuck my life!
That's some bullshit right there.
We review Batman, Ultimate Spider-Man, James Bond, Al Capone, Vampire, Bitch Planet, and Uncle Scrooge and the Infinity Dime. All that and Save Lower Decks! Face Front True Believers, it's the world's greatest comic book podcast, available Tuesdays on the Comic Book Podcast and almost all the places that podcasts can be found.
Charles Dickens walks into a bar and orders a martini. Bartender says olive or twist? So as far as the fundraiser goes that we were doing, it's still live. Yep. I won't take it down. We're just not going to beat your ears up about it anymore. Probably until a little later in the year, because for some reason I always need help right around fucking Christmas. You know what it is? Is it's like, because I worked in politics for so many years, I lose my job in November. I spend November, usually November, December, and January looking for new work. Usually somewhere in January, February, I get a new job. I work that for a year and a half, and then I would leave it and go back to doing another fucking campaign.
Right.
And it's just, in December, apparently, was when I have all of my ideas, and all of those ideas need websites or something. I don't know. It's just December is when I got nothing else to do. I'm feeling sorry for myself, so I start banking projects. I think that's why the end of the year is so fucking expensive.
Well, that and the big bill from GoDaddy shows up.
Oh, yeah, our yearly shows up.
And has to be paid. Has to be paid in January or they shut down your websites, which shuts down everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is true. I mean, that's the big one. And that one happened in December because apparently I got bored and started a new podcast.
Yes.
which then we didn't record until July. Holy shit, it's almost our 13th birthday.
Yeah.
14th birthday. 13th. Mm. It was 2011 when we started
2011.
This?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is our 647th episode. So if you want to help us get to 650, you guys can pop over to theleftshow.com and donate in any of a number of ways. You can hit that fundraiser that I'm going to leave up for a little while. You can jump on Patreon, join our Patreon squad at patreon.com/defendmedia. All the links are on theleftshow.com. Mm-hmm. You can buy some, well, merch doesn't make us any money, but, you know, you can still represent. We got merch on the site. You can do that. I got big news coming in 2 weeks. Of something that's kind of exciting to me. You know, so there's different ways to help us out. So if you want to, if you don't, that's fine. Keep listening. Maybe leave us a comment on the website or leave us a review wherever you leave your reviews for these things. You know, whatever it is you do, there's ways to help, and they're not all financial, but I do need the help. I really do. Okay. GOP candidate told black Americans seeking reparations to get the fuck out of America. Valentina Gomez, who is campaigning for Missouri Secretary of State, has consisted, her campaign has consisted of homophobic stunts, anti-LGBT rhetoric, anti-immigrant rhetoric. But yeah, Valentina Gomez, told black Americans ahead of Wednesday's natural Juneteenth holiday to get the fuck out of the U.S. if they still want reparations for slavery. She says, and I quote, "Reparations from slavery and black victimization is about to be shoved down our throats for the most ratchet holiday in America," she says.
Ratchet holiday.
Yeah, BLM raised millions. And what did they do for black lives? It is outrageous.
Made them matter.
Yeah. She says it's outrageous to see people ask you for reparations even though they never went through slavery. The 25-year-old Columbia-born Republican continued, "These ungrateful people should be celebrating because they were born in the greatest nation to ever exist." Norway?
Right. Norway? Iceland?
which isn't Norway the happiest country? Who's the happiest country?
Is it the Dutch? Either Norway or Sweden. Could be Sweden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There we go. Anyway, she says, here's a tip. If you don't like America, kindly get the fuck out.
Okay.
This lady's nuts, dude. I saw a thing on her on the news the other day, and she is just out of her fucking mind. She used a flamethrower to torch books with LGBTQ themes.
Yep.
She told her reactionary base, "Don't be weak and gay," in an actual campaign ad last month, and donned a shirt with the slogan in her video that just came out this week. But I'll just throw this out there for anybody paying attention. If the United States were to pay reparations, that would be a federal decision and nothing whatsoever to do with Missouri's fucking Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm. Nothing would happen.
Yep.
Yep.
So Judge Cannon I don't even know. Like I picked one article, and there's like 30 different things she's doing right now to continue to slow walk this case so that we don't get to hear it before the election. But yeah, she pulled in the special counsel team, Jack Smith and the gang, and started to grill them on how closely Attorney General Merrick Garland oversees their work. Under persistent questioning from U.S. District Judge Aileen Cannon, the prosecutors denied to divulge details and seemed caught off guard by the inquiries. At one point, Smith Deputy James Pierce said he was not authorized to discuss the level of communication that occurred between the Attorney General and the special counsel. He says, I don't want to make it seem like we're hiding something, but it's none of your fucking business, lady. It has not a goddamn thing to do with this case, your trial, or your judgeship.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. You know, and it's just
except
another...
That, except that your boy Donnie is, you know, up for... is on trial. That's it.
Yep. I don't know. What's in here? Trump's whiny. Cannon's, you know, she's got the orange stains on different parts. It's... I don't even know where to go on that one. So we're going to blow it off. She's just the devil, and there's nothing you can do about it. She's in an appointed position. Can you impeach someone that's been appointed? I'm not sure.
Not sure.
Yeah. That's one. If any of our voluntary counsel is out there, is Eileen Cannon, can she be recalled? Is that a thing? You know, are there people that vote for that, or would she have to be replaced by, I don't know. Tell me how it works. Let me know. We'll put it on next week's show. Timothy Mellon, very secretive donor, billionaire donor, gave $50 million to a pro-Trump group. He's been a major donor so far to a super PAC that's been supporting Robert F. Kennedy, but Robert F. Kennedy... he's done. He's not done as a spoiler. He's just, what was the name of the guy? Was it Alexander? No. Anderson? No. That was in the three-way race between, in 84.
Anderson.
And then you had Ross Perot in 92.
Yeah, he was in the three-way race in both, 1980 and 1984. I remember.
Yep. And what was he? He was a spoiler for the left.
He was a spoiler because he ran only his thing was just to be independent.
Yep.
But he pulled votes away from Carter, and that was, and people were pissed at Carter for no good reason except that Ronald Reagan told them to be. So
yeah. And you had that guy. You had Ross Perot in 92 that was a spoiler for the Republicans. You know, I mean, before anybody gets super defensive on me and precious, I think we'd do well with a multi-party system. I really do. A couple things have to happen. The first is we got to get rid of the fucking Electoral College because that's set up to handle two parties at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you got to make it to 270, and if you got a serious 3-4-5-way race, nobody's going to hit the threshold, and then fucking whoever's in charge of Congress gets to vote in who they want to be president. That's how the current system works. The other one would have to be dear third parties. As I have been screaming now for, 12 some odd years on this fucking show, 13 years, do the work in the off season. Get out there with candidates for city and county and state elections. Build your fucking parties. Don't show up once every 4 years with some lunatic and get pissy that you guys don't have the level of access that the parties that stick around in the off years, you know. I'm so sorry that non-presidential years are so boring for libertarians that they just do a shit job the other 3.5 years. You know, I'm so sorry that the Green Party can't be bothered to run fucking candidates, you know, in more. Mm-hmm. If you are so important to the process that we have to pay attention to you before you start to cry, be there when I'm looking for some sort of inspiration You know, I'm a Democrat by default because there's nothing further left than that. You know, because everything that you guys call fringe left wing is, as far as I'm concerned, centrist and fucking moderate.
Yeah.
You know, so don't give me that shit. Don't give me that shit. Do the fucking work. I think we would be served well by a multi-party system. I really do. I think it'd be a fucking great thing. I think that it would put energy back into the election system, that it would add a level of, if not trust, at least curiosity as to what's going on.
Yeah.
And curiosity is good because curiosity sometimes leads to action. Sometimes it leads to death if you're a cat. but, you know, I mean, that's just what I'm saying is it's like, okay, RFK Jr., here you are being whiny as shit that you can't go to the CNN debate. You got no shot, sport. You know, you're still running around being a spoiler. The only reason I am not more upset with RFK Jr., and let me get, because I'm more disgusted by him than anything else. You know who I'm disgusted by is Cheryl Hines, who should have left him long ago.
Yes. That I can agree with.
Yeah, she's too pretty for a guy that dumb. And I shouldn't call him dumb because apparently part of his brain got eaten by a worm.
Oh, no.
Literally, he had a brain worm that died in his skull and had to be taken out and had eaten part of his brain. You know what doesn't come back? Parts of your brain that have been eaten by a worm. They don't grow back. It's not fingernails, for fuck's sake. You know, he's also said that he's had a problem with a certain kind of seizure that causes brain damage and confusion. That doesn't heal either.
I was gonna say, wait, what? He has confusion?
I don't know. It's just the way I talk.
Yeah, that's it. I see.
I don't know why he talks like that. I honestly don't know. I could be making fun of a guy who had some sort of like throat cancer. I don't know.
I don't know. There was some reason. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah. So the Trump campaign is seeking to head off a convention revolt from the right flank. Trump aides scrambled to foil a plot to throw the nominating process into chaos as suspicions around potential disloyal delegates. Arizona delegates, the Republican National Convention, gathered in Phoenix, showing up to get to know each other and learn about their duties. Part of the presentation included a secret plan to throw the party's nomination of Donald Trump for president into chaos. The instructions did not come from never Trumpers hoping to stop the party from nominating a felon and adjudicated rapist when delegates gather in Milwaukee next month. Instead, they came from avowed, quote, America First believers, hatching a challenge from the far right, a plot to release the delegates from their pledge to support Trump, according to people present and briefed on the meeting. Slides from the presentation and private messages obtained. The delegates said the gambit would require support from several other state delegations, and it wasn't clear whether those allies had been lined up. One idea, discussed as attendees ate finger foods, was for co-conspirators to signal their allegiance to one another by wearing matching black jackets.
Hmm.
Okay. Somebody just think of the goth kids.
Yeah.
You know? And run around in your black jackets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of us would wear a string around a finger or a bracelet. Mm. Or, in the case of most Republicans these days, a black and red and white armband.
Yeah.
You know, up around the left bicep with just a doodle, if you will, a certain former religious icon.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it. Maybe you guys could signal your solidarity with an armband.
Yeah.
You know, I think it would be the most honest thing that you could do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad he's having problems, and it cracks me up that, you know, that the Republican Party, at least in part, is like, fuck this guy, he's not right enough. You know, you go through and you read Project 2025, and he's all on board for it, and they're like, it's not enough. Where do we get to kill people? When do we bring back the what is it? The thing you put your head, the blocks? No.
The guillotine or the stocks?
The stocks. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they want. They want public humiliation. They want to be able to murder and stone.
Oh, they flat out want gas chambers.
Yep.
You know?
They do. All those single mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Trying with their...
concentration camps for everybody.
Something like that. I don't know. All right, gang, that's the deal. We are going to go over and do Patreon right now. You can join us every week at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Every week that we record, we are over there with fresh content. you know, from time to time, I throw some best of stuff in there. Excuse me, I'm verklempt. But it's a lot of fun, and that's why we do it every week. So you can join us at patreon.com/defenmedia. And in the meantime, I'll thank JC for being with me today.
Of course.
We wish Taylor well in all of her adventures this weekend, which are her stories to tell.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, let's go do some Patreon.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, let's just do what the British lady said.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon, patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.